start reading in verse number 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we are children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. I want to stop right there just a second before we go on. There's a lot of people that if you ask them, you say, are you going to heaven? Their answer will be, I hope so. Now, I want you to catch something in this verse, because there's a lot of different religious ideas, but ideas won't get you to heaven. We need truths from God's word.
Yes, amen.
Now listen to this in with that thought in mind. By this we know that we are children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. There's a knowing that he wants us to have. There's things that are supposed to be followed through, acted on, participated in, when it comes to knowing God. When you've got somebody that has learned to be a master at their trade, all they simply do is the basics, but they've come to know and master the basics. And the basics, the fundamental things of the faith, never change. No matter how we grow in our relationship with God, those things never change. They develop, but they don't change. See, if you've got somebody that's in the professional league in baseball, they practice the same things that they do in Little League. But they have learned to master those fundamentals. Catching the ball, keeping your eye on the ball, hitting the ball, throwing the ball. Those things never change. Do they get better at it? Absolutely. Why? Because they develop the basics. So, he wants us to know, by this we know that we are children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? There are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. There are three that bear witness in the earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. These three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him to be a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This is the confidence that we have in him: if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. All unrighteousness is sin. There is a sin that is not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God, God keepeth himself. I need to read that back. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Pray with me if you would. Father, I ask that you would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we would know what's the hope of your calling and what's the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints and what's the exceeding greatness of your power to us who believe. According to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in heavenly places, and ask that you grant us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, so that we'd be filled with all the fullness of God. Holy Spirit, I ask you for divine utterance tonight. I ask that you would help me to communicate the heart of the Father to us, your people, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. An overcoming faith. An overcoming faith. Look at verse number 4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. You don't have to answer it out loud, but I do want you to think about it. Are you going to make it? Or are you going to fall, or are you going to fall short and not be able to make it? See, there's something that rises up in the heart of a believer. I didn't say a church attender, but there's something that rises up in the heart of a believer. Because a believer is not just somebody who comes to church, but a believer is somebody who has a relationship, an ongoing, healthy relationship with God the Father. There is a fellowship with that. See, there's some things, brothers and sisters, that people that just come to church and don't fellowship with God will know very little about. When we fellowship with Him as we should, we get to know His ways. See, there's things that some of y'all have been married longer than me and Sandy have. Some of you haven't been married as long. But there's something that you find out with living with somebody and being in a relationship with somebody. You learn to know their ways. There's a lot of times when you know their ways, you can answer sometimes almost what they would say. And it's not an unhealthy thing, because through our relationship with Jesus Christ and get to know the Father and the Father's heart. See, Jesus If you want to see a picture of God the Father, you look at the way that Jesus carried himself on the earth. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen a little boy that's born into his family, and he said, you know, especially if something had happened to his dad, he said, I wonder what his daddy was like. He said, the spitting image of that one right there. Jesus was the spitting image of the Father. If you want to know what the Father was like, you look at Jesus. But through knowing and having relationship with the Father, there's something that happens. See, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. But Jesus is the Word. He's not only the written Word, he's not just the Logos, he's the Rhema, he's the living Word. So as we fellowship with him, there's something that happens to us because the Word always precedes faith. And sometimes we can check up on ourselves and see how we're doing it in our faith walk. Because sometimes when we start falling apart, when we should be overcoming. I remember a scene in the movie Heidi. Anybody ever seen the movie Heidi? It's about a little girl up on the mountain with her grandfather. She's got a cousin that lives in a affluent city. Her dad is well off, but the little girl's crippled and she's got a bad outlook on life. And the little girl Heidi comes to live with her for a little bit. She doesn't like it there. She likes it back on the mountain with her grandfather, taking care of the goats and being out in the mountain air and all. And there's two scenes in there I want to bring up. That her grandfather would love for her to come back, and he doesn't want her to go back. She's on like a holiday there on the mountain with him. And she looks at her grandfather and she says, Grandfather, I have to go back. Because her cousin needed her. He said, the doctors say that there's no reason that she can't walk, but she's crippled. And he says, I don't doubt that there's not pain. He said, but there come a time if she don't walk, she won't walk. So she says, if I can just get her angry enough because I see her kicking her legs, that one day she will walk. See, there's a faith that overcomes. That's a natural human faith that's inside of a person. There's more in you than you think that there is. There's always more than you think that there is. But in the last scene, and the way that the movie kind of ties up, they come to the mountain, the little crippled girl too. The grandfather has built a little cart for her to ride on. She's so happy to be there. And he tells Heidi, says, go on up to the high meadow. She says, but what about her cousin? He says, she will be fine. And the grandfather leaves her. Heidi leaves her, and she's left alone. And he says that there's a strength that's inside of every human being that you don't really notice there until you push it up against that place. He says, she will be fine. And the grandfather says to her, walk, and leaves her alone. And then he walks on, shows him, he's walking on like this, and he walks right on. Brothers and sisters, a lot of times there's such a fear that overtakes us. And God's wanting us to see there's an overcomer in each and every one of us. See, there's things that you've already faced thus far in your life, and you have overcame. You've overcame things that you didn't ever think that you could overcome. You've been faced with things that you never thought and hoped that you would never, be faced with, but you've already overcame. I was just talking to somebody the other day, and they said, it was hard when my daddy died, and I don't know, but I made it through it. And he said, I don't know what I would be like when my mama dies. And I chimed right up and said, the same grace that took you through one will take you through the other. See, there's some things that you can't change. But there's an overcomer that's in you. There's an overcomer that's in you. And your God is bigger than your situation. And our God is always bigger than our situation. But I love what he said. He's encouraging the church. Now, John is a straight shooter, buddy. He don't mince no words, and he don't play around. But whosoever is born of God overcometh. And I want you to put your name in that place. Rip's an overcomer. Holly's an overcomer. Everybody in this room is an overcomer because there's an overcomer on the inside of you. Not only do we overcome the world, we overcome obstacles and situations that we face. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, let me ask us a question just to shift our thoughts just a little bit. If Jesus was faced with this that you're faced with, that you've got to overcome, would Jesus be able to overcome it? Do you believe that? Or do you think he would just sit down here with his head in his hands and said, oh my God, there ain't no way that I can make it through this. Brothers and sisters, there's been hard things that we faced in life. None of it as horrible as the cross. None of it as horrible as the beating and the treatment, the humiliation, the shame that he took before the cross. But he made it because he's an overcomer. And that same overcoming spirit is in each one of us. But the thing of it is, even if we're faced with things to overcome, we'll never face them alone because he will walk with them through us. Amen. Amen? Amen? That you can almost imagine he'd take your hand in your hand and you walk through this, and you walk through this thing together. You overcome because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But all of these things, there's something about the faith. The believing in him and the believing in yourself that you can. That comes from relationship. See, that one can't be stressed enough. If there's anything that we need to develop, we need to develop our relationship. If you're going to see a strong marriage, you're going to see a marriage where two people have learned to communicate. It's not just all in the magic of love. You know the song, "Love Will Keep Us Together." Thank God for love. But there's also got to be some communication. That we know each other's ways. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, he says here in verse number 7, he says there's three that bear witness. Excuse me, I said that wrong. There's three that bear record. On earth there's a witness, but in heaven there's a record. On earth, there's a witness. In heaven, there's a record. There's three that bear record. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Would we call this the Trinity? Could be. The Father, the Word, the Son. The Holy Ghost. These three bear record in heaven. If you want to look back, if you've got to find out some information at the courthouse on something like a piece of property or something that took place, you go back in the records and it's recorded. It's not recorded just for you, but it's recorded there for everybody to be able to see. There's three that bear record in heaven. And their record is sound. And their record is for everyone to see. But then he says there's three that bear witness. And it's amazing to me that in the next few verses, there's this word witness that's mentioned three or four times. We'll notice them in just a second. There are three that bear witness on in the earth. The Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. And he that believeth on the Son hath this witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him to be a liar. Because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And John knew something about what he was talking about. There's three that bear witness on the earth. Let me ask you a question. Where are you at? Where are we at? We're on this earth. These three bear witness. What are the three? The Spirit, the water, the blood. In all of my studying on these verses right here, Spirit is the Holy Spirit. When the Word says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life. When creation was formed, when the earth was formed, you had the Holy Spirit just hovering over, waiting for the command of God. And when those words were released, he moved and things began to happen. See, there's always a moving of the Spirit when words are released so that he can make things happen. The testimony of God is true. And what God says, that's why it's important for us to be in agreement with him and his word. And when we're not in agreement with his word, we're not in agreement with him. No matter how much we're in church, we're only in agreement with him when we're on the same page with him, saying the same words, having the same thought process that he's having. That we're believing in line with him. That's another reason why he's saying, keep his commandments. We learn God's ways by what the record that we have, and the record that we have is right here. And thank God that the record doesn't change. And there's something that happens on the inside of us when we believe him. How many like to feel the witness of God?
Amen.
Not only does he tell us that his words are true, but his, Brenda, there's something about it. When not only does he tell you, but there's something that happens on the inside of you to make you want to laugh and cry all at the same time. Cover your whole body with goosebumps. Give you such an overwhelming feeling of joy that's indescribable. And for somebody that's never experienced that, they don't know nothing about what that witness is. There was a day we didn't know what that witness was. But thank God we know now.
Amen.
Oh, brothers and sisters, and I want to find out even more. Amen. The Spirit, the water. The water was talking about baptism for what I could read and study. And the blood was talking about the cross where he shed his blood. See, in the water, there's a washing away. There's a cleansing. In the blood, there's also a cleansing. But there's also a mercy that comes to us. Our forgiveness that comes to us because that blood was placed on the mercy seat. But the Spirit's at work here on this earth now. The water, Jesus was baptized on the earth. We're baptized here on the earth. Jesus was crucified here on the earth. These things are witnesses. So it's good for us to be in agreement with God, because when we're in agreement with God, we've got things that are recorded in heaven that are bearing witness here on the earth. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. See, it's one thing for me to get up here and to tell you what the Word is saying about this, and you can believe me or not believe me, but I'm witnessing for Jesus and of Jesus. But he says the witness of God is great. See, he confirmed what he's saying. There's something that goes on the inside of you when you know that what I'm speaking is the truth. There's an agreement that's there. But the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. And he says, this witness says, you need to believe me. It's important that we believe him. Check out this next verse. Verse number 10. For he that believeth on the Son hath this witness in himself. There's a knowing on the inside of the person who truly believes in, trusts in, relies on Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Now, this is a dangerous place for anybody, especially in the church, but also much more outside of the church. See, to believe him is to follow him. See, you can't really believe in something and not give yourself to it. You may aspire to believe it, but you won't believe something that you truly believe. You will hold on to it. You'll embrace it. Now, the witness of men compared to the witness of God. But he that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in himself. Now, here we go back to our question to start with. If you were to ask somebody, are you going to heaven? I sure hope so. I believe there's something that needs to be developed in relationship that's stronger. There needs to be a knowing. See, this is where our faith comes in. It's not everything out in the abstract out here somewhere, because there's something that's working right here on the inside. There's a witness. They said Brother Hagin would ask people, said when he came up for prayer, said, are you going to get what you came here for? Their answer, some of them would be, I sure hope so. He says, you might as well go ahead and sit down, because you ain't going to get it. Because all they were was hoping when they should be believing. Some people have this here because they think that their answer is just going to come through prayer. Well, I'm a hoping and a praying. There's something that needs to push further. You may have started the ball rolling, but it needs to roll a little bit further to get in the right alignment. Not that I'm hoping and a praying, but I'm praying and believing. There's a big difference in the two. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Now, when it comes to something new in the Word that we've not embraced yet, there should be an attitude inside of us that says, I may not understand this, but this is what his Word says. Holy Spirit, teach me about this word. Give me an understanding heart that I can perceive this, instead of just marking it off, that this might not be right. This might be just somebody's idea. Let me say this. It is somebody's idea. It's God's idea. And when it's God's idea, we need to get on the page with him. Amen? You can't make somebody else get on the page with him, but you can make sure that you get on the page with him. Amen? Let's not make God a liar. Because we believe not the record that he gave his son. And everything that he gave his son to do, Curtis, all of the job description that was tied to what was going to be achieved through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, when Jesus said, "It is finished," the death blow had been delivered to Satan. Now he wants, and he rose victorious, and he wants his church to rise victorious in the victory that he rose. All of our overcoming, all of our success, all of our victory is tied to what Jesus did. It's not on us apart from him, it's on us in him. That's a good sermon right there within itself, in that statement right there. See, because just in us, there ain't much to us. But in him, there's everything. There is everything. That's why you're an overcomer and I'm an overcomer, because we are in him. Let me say it like this. You're not just a Christian. You have been in Christ. Let that sink just a little bit. You are not just a Christian. You have been in Christ. You are somebody because you are in Christ. You're victorious. You're an overcomer because you have been in Christ, or you've been placed in Christ. And when Jesus was faced with something, he went through it. And when you're faced, you will go through it. Because Jesus went through it. And where are you at?
On the other side, stronger.
You're in Christ, and you're in him. You're in him. See yourself that way. If you need to envision something, almost see yourself like this. An astronaut is placed in a spacesuit. The spacesuit enables him to be able to be in a extremely hot, extremely cold, extremely bad, toxic atmosphere, and to be able to walk safely through it because of the suit that he is encapsulated in. I want you to see yourself in Christ, or in Christ, that you are in Christ and he is the spacesuit and we are in him. And there's a faith that needs to rise up. And this faith is a trusting faith that he's going to lead me through this. He can't be destroyed, so I'm not going to be destroyed. He's victorious, so I'm inside of the victory. There's no way for me to lose. Why? Because I'm in him. And the only way that I can't make it is for me to step outside of my suit. And don't you think people don't do it and say, "Well, I don't need my suit no more." Brothers and sisters, you need your suit. As long as you're on this earth walk, you need your suit. We need to be clothed in our righteousness with God. That clothing of the righteousness of God is a right standing with God. Keeping your place. This is where relationship and fellowship work hand in hand in this. Because there's something that happens in that. There's a witness that's bearing witness on the inside of us.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes, amen.
heard a fellow, he was telling me, he said this old black preacher, he said when he was preaching, he said, don't it feel good when it get all in your hands? He said, don't it feel good when it get all in your feet? See, there's something about this witness that is such a beautiful thing. He's more than a goosebump, and he's more than a feeling. But thank God for a goosebump and a feeling. Amen? This witness is greater than that. It might involve that, but it's greater than that. And this is the record that he hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. John didn't play around with what he was saying right here. Either you do or you don't. And if we're in the body, we need to know. How do we know? By keeping his commandments, by fellowshipping with him in his word, that we find out about ourselves. Because what the Bible says about us is true. And there's things that it says about us that almost make our head swim. But we might as well say, Lord, I don't understand it all, but I believe it all. Help me to grasp what you're saying about me. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Now, a lot of times we want this answer without ever having any fellowship. There's a thing about fellowshipping with God and fellowshipping with him around his word. And we find out through his word what his will is. And as we find out what his will is, and we know what his heart is, we know what his ways are. That we agree with him, and you can kind of mark it down. There's no way that I'm not going to get my answer. Because I'm in line with his will. I'm praying with his will. Now, let me ask you this. How much confidence do we have when it comes to this area? Well, I sure hope so. I would challenge us that our believing needs to come up to a higher place. I sure hope so. Because that's not what he said here. Can I read it again? And this is the confidence that we have in him. How much confidence do we have in him? That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And I would ask one question to start with right here. How do you know that it's the will of God? Because it's what his word says, and his word backs up what he says. So if I've spent time with him, then I can know what his word says. I've been in fellowship with him, so I know what his heart is. Then there ain't no way that I'm not going to get what I'm asking for. He wants that confidence to be there. If we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Now, through relationship, there's something else that happens. There's a sifting or a weeding that takes place. Verse number 17. All unrighteousness is sin. I love what I heard one preacher said, you need to do what's right and then you need to do it right. Righteousness has to do with our standing with God. All unrighteousness is sin. Something that's out of fellowship and not right with God is sin. Call it what it is, and then separate ourselves from it. Because it will not lead you closer to God, it will lead you farther away from God. Because all unrighteousness is sin. Now, one of the challenges that we might have is call an ugly thing by what it is. If it's a habit, call it what it is. See, one of the things, here's one of the sad things about habits. They start out little, but what happens over a period of time is habits become lifestyles. And when something becomes a lifestyle, it's harder to break. Don't you think for a minute that it can't be broke, though? It took 21 days to form a habit. Could a habit be stopped in 21 days? Are we willing to change a lifestyle? Are we willing to embark on a higher road? Are we willing to discipline ourselves and allow the greater one that's on the inside of us to lead us to a higher way of living? Just a thought. There's a sin that is not unto death. There's a passage of scripture that was left out of this text. There's a sin that is unto death, and there's a sin that's not unto death. And here's one of the things that I see about it. There's probably a whole lot more to it than that. There are a lot of times we'll notice something in somebody's life that's not right. And what we'll do in the church is we'll talk about that person. Because they're doing something that's not right. What's that? What that's just revealed is something that's not right with us. Because we shouldn't be talking about it. We should be praying for that person to be delivered from it. We should be hooking up our faith with them. Guilty is charged. Notice thing about people. But instead, it's a lot easier just to talk about them than to believe God to pray for them. What does he say to do? All unrighteousness is sin. There is a sin that is not unto death. Use your faith to help somebody else who's in a weakened state. Not just in a talk about state that all it does is throw another pebble on their back that they're trying to get out from under right now. Now, this one hits home because there's times that we all get in a place where we're weakened. Sometimes it's through things on the job. So sometimes it's through things in a family. Sometimes it's you're sick in your body and you need the help of your brothers and sisters. I wonder why they're sick. You ever ask that question? I wonder, you know, one of the first questions that a lot of times that pops us in somebody's mind, I wonder what they've done to make yourself sick. They want not to do this and they want not to do that. He wants us to use our faith to help a brother or sister up out of that place. Not to talk about them. How do I know this? Because I've been guilty of this my own self. There's things that I've seen about people, understood about people, but much easier just to talk about it than it is to discipline myself, to use my faith to help them to get out of that place. What would Jesus do in that situation? Lord, just say the word.
Would he be a broadcaster or would he be a deliverer? We know that that whoever is born of God sinneth not. Now this is an amazing scripture. For we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God, God keepeth. He that is begotten of God, God keepeth.
He that is begotten of God keepeth himself. And the wicked one toucheth him not. I'm just that old sinner saved by grace. You were an old sinner, and you've been saved by grace. But here he says something to us. Whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Which camp do you want to stay in? Allow your mind to be renewed by the Word of God. And he's not saying here that there's times that we don't miss the mark. But that is not our lifestyle and that is not our practice. If we are just practicers of sin, you know what we need to do? We need to get born again. As sin has become our lifestyle, we need to get born again. So whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Because there's a witness that he was talking about earlier that's inside of you. And when you miss the mark, that witness is talking. And that witness starts saying something. And he says it on the inside of you because you've just, and I have just stepped outside of the place of peace. Because in the presence of God, there's perfect peace. And when I step out of my right position, my right place, into sin, I've stepped out of that place of peace. And the witness says, he doesn't say it with condemnation. He says, you need to get back in that place of peace. Because in that place of peace is where there's a place of victory. Brothers and sisters, that witness that's on the inside of us is there to lead us and to guide us. That witness witnesses by peace. But he that keepeth himself, he that is begotten of God, keepeth himself. Now, this is something that puts a responsibility not just on your brothers and sisters, but it puts a responsibility on you. And he says, you keep yourself. Don't expect somebody else to do everything for you. You do this for your own self. There can't nobody do your praying. There can't nobody do your reading. There can't nobody do your fellowship. And there can't nobody do your standing. So if there can't nobody else do those things for you, why don't we become proficient and masters at practicing doing something for our own self? Is it true? The Bible is true. He's calling us to a higher place. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't want us to use our place to help somebody else, but don't use everybody else when we could be coming up our own self. Don't let that be a means of us staying at a place that is below where we should be at. But I love this next part. See, but you've got to get a hold of the first part to get the next part to work for you. And the wicked one toucheth him not. Huh? Glory to God. And the wicked one toucheth him not. Y'all brothers and sisters, y'all pray for me that I'll hold out to the end. They need to hear scriptures like this right here. And when we do these things, the wicked one toucheth him not. Because when you know that the wicked one touches you not, there's something that rises up on the inside of you. Amen? It's the greater one. It's this witness that he's talked about several times in the previous verses. See, all of these things build. Each one of them is a layer that brings something to the table here to make it greater. And we know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We're in God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. But a lot of times we want to take some of our cues and patterns from the world instead of from God. And the Bible says that the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now, why would the church want to pattern themselves after the world? Now, you tell me that one, how we can come up with a rational decision for something like that. To adopt the thoughts of the world and bring them into the church when the world is lying in wickedness. Just a thought. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And when we know that him that is true, there's a witness on the inside. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Life is not just your existence here on this earth in the days that we are here. But life is the very nature of God. Jesus came to give us, and we're living in it now, whether we want to admit it or whether we even acknowledge it or know anything about it. That eternal life is at work within us. This witness is a witness of eternal life. It's the very nature of God. If you've got God living on the inside of you, you've got eternal life living on the inside of you. Was that an answer for you? If you've got God living on the inside of you, you've got everlasting life living on the inside. Because that's his very nature. That's who he is. Any way you turn him, any way you cut him, any way you try to separate him, you would come up with eternal life attached to every piece of him because that's who he is. And you know what? That's who he is in you. Like the Snickers bar. Any way you cut it, you're going to come out peanuts. And any way that you hook yourself up to God, he's eternal life. Because it's his very nature. Stand with me. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you that you are life. You are everlasting life. Death cannot stay around you because when it comes around you, people are resurrected. People are set free by the power of God. There's a great liberating power that is in you, and that life force is eternal life, your very nature. And you've placed that nature inside of us. Through your Son and through the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We're believers. We believe, we trust in, we adhere to, and we rely on Jesus as our Savior and Lord. We're aspiring to know your word and to know your commandments, to keep your ways, because this is the way that we show our love for you. And there's a witness that's on the inside of us And we thank you for the witness that's there, that speaks to us, that guides us, that directs us, that encourages us. Thank you. Thank you. The Spirit of your Son. The Holy Spirit making that known to us. And you called us victorious. You called us overcomers. And we just mark it down. That's who I am. Because that's who you said I am. And I believe you. I trust in you. I rely on you. I plead the blood of Jesus over us as we go. Thank you for this opportunity to share your word. Thank you for allowing us the privilege to be participators in this God kind of life, to have our lives transformed by the power of God. In Jesus' name, amen.